I'm telling you right now, the Pirates are becoming a flashpoint in these CBA back and forth discussions. And in one case, Bryce Harper standing nose to nose with the commissioner, Rob Manfred, during a meeting last week, according to Jeff Passan, and telling him to get the F out of our clubhouse if he wanted to talk about a salary cap. And then you have players on multiple teams telling ESPN they've used these meetings with Manfred. He's visiting, you know, every team to press him on the lack of payroll spending by certain teams. Then you have another part of this piece saying owners around the league, either directly or indirectly, in the case of Bob Nutting, you know, espousing a salary cap. It seems like everything on either side is coming back to the Pirates one way or another. They're becoming a flashpoint here. We'll talk about that later. In the meantime, let's bring on our friend and yours, Mr. Mike DeFabo of The Athletic, to talk about the Steelers and training camp. Mike, I know that Cordarrelle Patterson described himself in this tweet as old and washed up upon the Steelers releasing him on his day off today, but quite frankly, I couldn't agree more. What took so long?
Yeah, I've written that same exact thing, and I was wondering what took him so long. I think my favorite, since Cordarrelle Patterson is going to call himself old and washed, my favorite Cordarrelle Patterson story came last year. The Steelers were walking over from their indoor practice facility to across a parking lot and back to their locker rooms, and a couple random players look over, I'm talking about practice squad guys, and they saw Cordarrelle Patterson, and he was already eating pizza. And practice had just ended, and their quote was, "Cordarrelle Patterson is so fat." And not to just bash a guy who has done more and made more money than I will ever even dream of, but unfortunately, there reaches a time for every player when it's time to say goodbye. The Steelers had a crowded backfield with, obviously, Jaylen Warren. They have Caleb Johnson. And then our guy, Kenneth Gainwell, he is going to be that dynamic line-up-everywhere type of running back. There really was no need to keep a 34-year-old Cordarrelle Patterson. It was well past time to let him go.
I couldn't agree more with every syllable you just uttered. All right, that brings me to many other issues here. The first one's the offensive line. How much do you know about the nature of the injuries to Broderick Jones and Seumalo? And it obviously can't be a good thing that an already thin offensive line, and most are, you know, there's not a ton of offensive line depth in the league, but an already thin offensive line has two injuries.
I think Broderick Jones is the one that you worry about more, just in the sense that this is an important training camp for him. He is a guy that when you drafted him out of Georgia with just 19 college starts, he was this ball of clay that you were hoping to mold into a legitimate starting first-round caliber offensive tackle. The Steelers have taken this bizarre approach with him where they've played him all over the place, right tackle. Before now, he was supposed to finally line up at left tackle. He dropped 20 pounds. He's come into training camp looking like he's in very good shape. But unfortunately, it seems like he's dealing with a little bit of something. So here's what I can tell you along those lines. Yesterday on Sunday at practice, he participated in the individual drills. And then afterwards, the medical staff was wrapping. He looked like a mummy. They basically had his entire back and then his groin area wrapped. I'm not sure exactly whether that means it was a groin issue, a hip issue, a hamstring issue, but something in that realm. And, you know, he wasn't carted off. He didn't go to the locker room. He stayed at practice and watched practice. It wasn't like he went down in a heap kind of thing. But, you know, the Steelers have an interesting decision to make now here with Broderick Jones, because you don't want a small thing to turn into a bigger issue. At the same time, this is a guy that has a tremendous amount to prove at a position group that's really going to shape the fortunes of the Steelers season in a lot of ways. And so I guess we'll have to find out more tomorrow, but you hope that for Broderick's sake and for the Steelers offensive line's sake, he's back on the field sooner than later.
And Seumalo?
Seumalo, I don't really know a ton about how long he's going to be out, but he's kind of one of those veteran guys that I feel like, truthfully, as long as he shows up game one, day one, you don't really have to worry about what you're going to get out of a guy like that. So, you know, he's probably more in the category of, like, let's not risk it. We don't really necessarily need to push a guy. But, you know, I honestly, truthfully don't know a ton about the nature of his injury.
Okay, so back to Jones for a second. What are the options beyond him? And am I accurate when I say that, like most lines in the league, this one is somewhat thin?
Yeah, this line is thin, and I thought that it would be pertinent for the Steelers to go out and sign a legitimate swing tackle, you know, not only for depth, but also as insurance, because Broderick was not very good last year. He gave up 11 sacks, which was tied for the second most in the NFL last year. And so, you know, if you need to send a message to him at some point this year or simply bench him, it would be nice to have somebody that you felt pretty good about. Right now, the guy who stepped in yesterday in Broderick Jones' absence was Dylan Cook. And Dylan Cook was at one point in his life a quarterback who's now making the transition and continuing the transition to offensive tackle. You know, he's a backup tackle for a reason. Calvin Anderson is another guy who fits into that mold. And I wonder if the Steelers, I think they would like to, if they can find one, look for an upgrade at swing tackle. The trouble is, where are you going to find a guy like that at this point in the year? You know, I don't know if someone will get cut. I don't know if you can make a trade. But I think that's a position they're interested in adding to, but I just don't know exactly what the options will be at this point in the year.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic, kind enough to join us here. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Mike is on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What has the Aaron Rodgers experience been like for you, Mike?
Well, I think it's been up and down. Look, first of all, before we get into any discussion about how Aaron Rodgers has played, let's acknowledge that these are unpadded practices. It's been a very small sample size. And in a lot of these settings, like if they're doing a pass under pressure drill, for example, the defense should win. That said, you know, the first practice, I thought that he was not very sharp, and he started with an inauspicious start with an interception on his very first pass as a Steeler in 11-on-11 drills. That was part of a day with a lot of misconnections with DK Metcalf. He looked for him on a slant and threw the ball high. Looked for him another time and missed him. But then the next day he responded and I felt like he was very good. And then the following day I thought, you know, again, not as good. He threw the interception to Jalen Ramsey. And that Saturday practice was probably his roughest practice. There were more balls that hit the ground than found wide receivers. And that was partially because I think the Steelers defense actually could be pretty legitimate and the defensive backs were making a lot of plays. It was also because I think the receivers made a couple, Roman Wilson was not on the same page with Aaron Rodgers, for example, and Calvin Austin dropped a pass. But then yesterday, Rodgers responded, and I thought, again, he was very sharp. So up and down is the way that I would describe it. And here's the things you see. You know he still has that quick trigger. That release has been a huge part of his game, and it's still there. And so you'll see on quick slants to DK Metcalf, he is hitting DK Metcalf on stride, on the numbers, exactly what you're looking for. But he needs to continue to develop that chemistry with some of the other receivers. And the misconnection with Roman Wilson really stuck out to me, because if this offense is going to succeed, you need Aaron Rodgers to thrive with some of those quick game concepts that were a staple of his game in the West Coast system early in his career with Mike McCarthy. And for that to happen, you need the receivers to be exactly where Rodgers expects them to be so he can throw with timing and anticipation. And right now, the guys other than DK Metcalf, I think, have some room to grow when it comes to that connection. The other question I have is, I'd like to see Rodgers drive the ball down the field on those dig routes or those deep posts. I know he still has the quick release, but I think that there's a difference between getting the ball out quickly, for a 5, 10, 10-yard out versus throwing the ball into a tight window over the middle. You know, he also threw a deep fade to DK Metcalf that Metcalf had no chance. The ball fluttered and sailed out of bounds. So really my question is, like, yes, we know he has the arm strength and the twitchiness to get the ball out of his hands quickly, but what's it going to mean in terms of creating explosive plays downfield?
I'm getting the gist that he's been under center a lot, and I'm wondering what you think of that, because I don't think he's most comfortable there. Is that just a function of, you know, maybe them calling more, working more on the run game when they do that, or is that true? And how do you think he'll fit with our friend and yours, Artie?
Well, I think you've seen him do both. And to your point, he operated a lot out of the gun last year. And in Arthur Smith's offense, there will be times when he's going to go more under center. You know, I think that one reason for that is because within the Shanahan style offense and within some of the concepts that Arthur Smith likes to run, a lot of it is predicated upon that outside zone setting up play action. And that's also one of my questions with Aaron Rodgers, is when you are running that play action, the bootleg element of it is really important, and that's going to test his mobility. And as a 41, soon to be 42-year-old quarterback, that's obviously one of the biggest questions with Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know, like right now, it's tough to say if they're going to be under center or in the shotgun more, because there are periods that are called like team run. And he's handing the ball from under center to the running back, and then in some cases play action off of it. So, you know, I think until we get into the season, we won't know exactly like what the percentage of under center versus shotgun is going to be.
Do you get the idea that Rodgers, unlike Ben, unbelievably, and unlike Russell Wilson, is going to have full freedom or more freedom at the line of scrimmage to sort of buck the system and do what he wants?
Well, this is always an interesting discussion, because they call two or three or sometimes four plays in the huddle at a time. That is standard throughout the NFL. And so sometimes, like if you see a quarterback touch his helmet, he's going to the second play, and that's standard throughout the entire league. You know, one thing that really actually I noticed yesterday in practice was they were doing the seven shots drill, and Aaron Rodgers tapped his elbow, and Pat Freiermuth motioned and must have made either a formation or a route adjustment. So already you're seeing that he's getting, you know, he's having freedom within the offense. And I think it's really imperative that you do give Aaron Rodgers the freedom, because let's acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers at 41 years old is not going to be at his MVP best. There are going to be some ways physically that he's diminished. But when you get a guy like that, your hope is that he can work his way around the football field using his brain. Let's all remember that Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl with a noodle arm because he had a great defense and he's so incredibly intelligent. And so I think if you're going to take that approach and say, we're bringing in a veteran guy that we know might not be what he once was, you have to give him the full opportunity to capitalize on what is still his strength, which would be his mind and which would be his experience. Yeah. And so I think that the Steelers would very much be wise to at some point say, Aaron, you are a guy where you're putting, if we're putting all of our chips on the table and we're trusting you to lead this offense and to break this 8-year postseason winless drought, it's going to be because you have the experience and you have the brain and you have the smarts to do it. Go get it done.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. The one, and I realize the pads don't go on till tomorrow, but the one or two best players you've seen so far, the guys who have opened your eyes the most, and then the one or two on the other end of the scale.
I mean, Jalen Ramsey to me has been outstanding. And I think that I might be ready to say that if the Steelers had traded Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey straight up, they would have won that trade. He had an interception of Aaron Rodgers that was more athletic and instinctive than anything I've seen from Minkah Fitzpatrick in 5 years. And you know, in addition, the ripple effect is just so significant because, like, nickel position has become so much more important in the NFL. And we talked about like getting to the quarterback, and last year the Steelers struggled with that. Nickel pressures are a huge part of the game right now, and he's going to help you with the blitzing. Beyond that, Mike Tomlin's preferred scheme defensively is to play a lot of man coverage. And by bringing in a guy like Jalen Ramsey, the Steelers are going to be able to get back to that. And they believe that they can play man coverage against anybody. And really, the team that that's going to help them with the most is going to be when they play the Bengals and when they spread them out and when the Steelers are going to be in their sub packages virtually every single play. So, I've been a huge fan of what I've seen from Jalen Ramsey, and I think he's going to be a huge contributor. I also think, DK Metcalf is a grown man. That guy is an absolute beast, and he seems to be working really hard. I think that he's going to be a huge piece of this offense. Guys who've underwhelmed. I know this is going to get aggregated, so I have to be careful of what I say here.
I know, everything does.
It's like it needs to come with a disclaimer. Everything you say can and will be used against you by aggregators.
That's exactly right. And well said there.
It's way too – okay, I hope that they aggregate this part of it as well. It's way too early to put too much stock in what we've seen from Broderick Jones, but he has been beaten a couple times. Now, look, I'm not going to read into anything that an offensive lineman does in shorts in a T-shirt. So, and even in a shell with the helmet and shoulder pads on, I want to see how Broderick does, and I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But, he has gotten beaten a couple times, which has been a bit disappointing. In terms of somebody else who disappointed, I don't really know that I have one, because I think there have been a lot of guys who stuck out to me in a good way. I'll probably have a better answer for you next week, Joe.
All right, then how about this? Someone who is off the radar a bit, who's opened your eyes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll go with tight end J.J. Galbraith. So he's a guy from South Dakota who went undrafted, and at his pro day, he tested very well. If you would compare his pro day numbers to tight ends who competed at the combine, he would have had the best 40-yard dash, among the best verticals. All of the explosive and athletic metrics, he would have been near the top. And everybody's favorite, Will Howard, has formed early chemistry with J.J. Galbraith. I would say that J.J. Galbraith is Will Howard. Will Howard is the fan favorite, and J.J. Galbraith is Will Howard's favorite target early on. And so, I know Connor Hayward, he has special teams value. He is a guy who's been on the team for a couple of years. But if there is going to be someone who challenges him for that position, I think J.J. Galbraith could be that guy. And I think that he's someone, if you're one of those people that enjoys placing a small wager on sports from time to time, maybe a preseason degenerate bet of J.J. Galbraith over catches might be a good way to go.
What has run through your mind as you're watching Derek Harmon and Caleb Johnson?
Derek Harmon, everything that you've seen from him in unpadded environments, he has lived up to his billing. And I can't wait to see him in a full contact environment because, last year he led FBS interior defensive linemen in pressures with 55. And you see those quick hands and or those quick fluid hips and those strong hands. He really, to me, looks like he's going to be a difference-making type of player. And he's almost been forgotten after this busy offseason. And so, the Steelers last year, as defensive coordinator Terrell Austin admitted, they had a Baltimore problem last year. That was his quote unquote, we had a Baltimore problem last year. And if they're going to fix that problem with the run defense, and if they have any hope of slowing down Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and not get the ball run down their throat to the tune of 300 yards this year, they need Derek Harmon to be a legitimate difference-making type of player as a starter, and he's going to step right into the starting lineup. And I think that he will be one of the players to watch when the pads come on, because that'll be another test for him. Caleb Johnson right now, he's clearly behind Jalen Warren in the depth chart. They're not really sprinkling him into too many first-team settings, but I've really liked what I've seen out of him. He fits this scheme like a glove. He's a very good outside zone runner, and you know, even though he ran just a 4.57 40-yard dash, which people look at and they're kind of underwhelmed by, he created a lot of explosive runs. And the reason for that is he has really, really good vision and does an excellent job of setting up his blocks. And, you know, I've heard Le'Veon Bell talk about how he never ran full speed at any point in his career. And so really when you're running outside zone, that's the biggest thing, is like having the patience, knowing your cutback lanes, being able to hit the hole and explode through it when you do have that opportunity. And I think that you're going to see a lot of those things from Caleb Johnson. And I'm really eager to see what we see from him, you know, as the year continues.
Me too. I think he is a player of great interest. Is it true that out at camp, the biggest ovations of all have been for Will Howard?
Yeah, it was hilarious. His quote about that was even funnier because he said, "I genuinely didn't know that it was for me. I thought that Joey Porter did something," or something like that, which was hilarious because Joey Porter, you know, often does things that cause a reaction like that. But yeah, just for simply on Saturday, going onto the practice field as the fourth quarterback in the rotation, you would have thought that he was the four-time NFL MVP and the Super Bowl champion, not Aaron Rodgers. And so, you know, I think some of this is what I call backup quarterback syndrome, which is the less you see somebody play, the better you think they are. I think part of it also shows how this fan base feels, that they saw a one-year aging Band-Aid solution that didn't work. And now here the Steelers are again trotting out a 41-year-old quarterback that, you know, he's acknowledged that this is going to be his last year. If they're ever going to end this cycle and finally have some stability at the most important position in football, Will Howard could be one of those guys. Unfortunately, I think people honestly, and I say this respectfully because I think Will Howard's a very nice person and player, they need to pump the brakes and temper their expectations with this guy. You know, I think the best case scenario for Will Howard is something like Kirk Cousins, where the, you know, Washington drafted RG3 in the first round, believing he was going to be their savior. And then it took a couple years and injury for the mid round pick Kirk Cousins to get his opportunity. So, you know, I look at, so using that as an example and as a mold, you know, I look at this year as it's going to be the Aaron Rodgers experience. And if he were to get injured, I think the Steelers are definitely going to go to Mason Rudolph, and they should, because you would be looking for how can we get by 1, 2, 3 games without our starting right. quarterback, not let's figure out if we have our quarterback of the future. So really it's not until next year when Will Howard is going to get a chance. And I sure hope the Steelers don't fool themselves into thinking their sixth-round pick is their answer. I hope they take an aggressive approach, move up in the first round, get a legitimate top-tier guy with first-round caliber traits and a first-round caliber arm that then they you know, put all their faith behind. Maybe only then, if that quarterback struggles or is slow to develop, do we see Will Howard. But, you know, if we see Will Howard before next year or even the year after that, the earliest, I think it tells you more so that something has gone wrong with the way the Steelers have done things at the quarterback position than Will Howard has wowed and has done something incredibly right.
10 seconds. What's been the crowd reaction for Rodgers?
Generally good, I guess. You know, I actually thought they would be a little bit crazier, but, you know, I think people have greeted him, I don't know, normally, I guess. I don't know how to really phrase it.
Yeah. I read somewhere where it's not like, you know, when Ben used to walk through, people would go crazy, almost like a warm reaction, but not going crazy.
Yeah, I think people, you know, are interested to see what he can do. I think that, I mean, before I covered the team, I was a Steelers fan. I know what it's like. You get frustrated. You think everything's horrible after the year. And by the time week one rolls around, you've talked yourself into them being a Super Bowl contender. I think a lot of people are probably going to do the same thing with Rodgers this year.
Mike, I appreciate all that time. That was great stuff. We'll do it again.
Sounds good, Joe. Thank you so much for having me.
See you, buddy. All right. Coming up next, Sean Myers has a Limitless Express, a little football fix coming our way. Sean, what do you got?
I have big shoes to fill, but we're going to talk about a former Steelers quarterback. We're going to talk about maybe the person who could supplant T.J. Watt as the highest paid defensive player. We've got maybe some other little treats to get to as well.
We'll do all that next. First, in support of hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive, you can bring a brand new backpack to Donaldson's Crossroads inside the Mini Mall on Friday, August 1st from 1 to 2 p.m. and stop to chat with Adam Crowley of the Fan Morning Show. This guy pops up everywhere. He's going to be in Ireland, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I believe that's the word I heard.
Now, all of a sudden, it's Donaldson's Crossroads, and he's a great guy to chat with. A lot of fun, very smart. You forgive him his West Virginia background. Help us get students in the Pittsburgh Public Schools ready for the upcoming school year. Details at 93.7. TheFan.com.